Okay, Hebrews chapter 5. So let's begin with the word of prayer and think about just being prayer for different people in the assembly that need our prayers. So let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the word of God. What a joy it is to study the word of God. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to get this out around the world to other people. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Okay. Christ as the high priest. That's what we're going to be looking at here. And Jesus Christ is a better high priest than all from Aaron. Now, Aaron was the first Jewish high priest, but Jesus Christ was better as far as all of that was concerned. He is our high priest for all eternity. Think of this from the time of the Old Testament through all through the church age. Now, man as high priest, Christ is so much better as high priest. Verses 5 through 10. But let's take a look at starting at verse 1. Verse 5, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men, okay, taken among men, is appointed on behalf of the people in things pertaining to God in order to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. That's what he wants to work for. So, he can generally with the ignorant and misguided since he himself also is clothed in weakness. This is mankind, not Jesus Christ. Now, verse 3. And because of it, he is obligated to offer to other sacrifices for sins for himself as well as for others. This refers to all the other priests. A priest for themselves as well as others. Now, verse 4. And no one takes the honor for himself. No one takes the honor of being high priest himself, but receives it when he is called by God, just as Aaron also was. Now, just you must understand, there is so much required by Jesus Christ, more than salvation. We could talk about salvation for a long time, but there's so much more important to us now, more important than even salvation. This was important in the Old Testament, and of course, it is vital in the church age. The writer here, in Hebrews, has listed 6 requirements of Jesus Christ is the priesthood in the Old Testament. Here we have descriptions of human priesthood. So there are 7 of them, very quick, for 6 of them. So take a look at them. They are 1, chosen from men. 2, purpose of the high priest. He is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God. 3, why the high priest? Why is he even there? So we can take a look at that in a moment. 4, trait requirement of the high priest. In other words, we'll look at what the requirement is required of the high priest. 5, requirement of high priest. And then 6, qualification of appointment of priesthood. Now, many Christians in the church age try to apply the law of Israel to the church. Many try to do this. But what is so interesting is that about three quarters of the law is related to the temple. So there's just no way we could even think of going there and picking up some things that we're going to relate to. And with the beginning of the church age, Israel still lived, and at the beginning of the church, lived and worshipped in reference to the temple. And that living with reference to the temple was the center of so much. So, God had the temple completely taken out in 70 AD by Rome. Now, it was so much about Israel and about the place of Israel, but to Israel, not much about the church. Jews were moved out of Jerusalem and scattered throughout the world when it was destroyed in 70 AD. So many have deep problems with what happened to the Jews during World War II. You read it and you watch it and whatever. Why did God allow all these things to happen to the Jews that happened to the Jews? And it's terrible. The answer is very simple. They would love to stay out of Israel when it comes with time for the nation of Israel to come into the history of the church age. They'd love to just stay with Israel. Therefore is so much going on in the world related to Israel, and the time is near when Israel will turn to the protection of European world. That's during the tribulation. Unfortunately, many of the Jews today want to build a temple out of which to worship. So, not until Jesus Christ returns to the world is the temple going to be made a temple again by Jesus Christ himself. Now, Jesus will be the high priest, and we will be priests with him, but he will be the high priest. Now, let's go back over those six things we looked at. Now look at what is going on in the New Age about the high priest coming. Now, one, requirement of the high priest in the Old Testament. Requirement of the high priest. He was to be chosen from men in Hebrews 5:1. He must be a male descendant of Levi. Females were prohibited. Jesus is a priest according to the priesthood of Melchizedek, not of the Levites. Two, purpose of the high priest. So one, requirement of the high priest. Now, purpose of the high priest. He is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God. God set up the priesthood in the history of Israel to be a prefigure, a type of Jesus Christ himself. It means that God wanted to have a way or means for men to approach to him. So God set up the high priest as the way for men to approach God. Of course, Jesus Christ will be the appointed one to approach him. But before that, this is why it's all there by God's desire. Now, point three. Why does God need man to approach him by gifts and the sacrifices for sins? Why is that? Why does God need man to approach himself by the gifts and the proper sacrifices for sins? He created the high priest. He created the high priest for this purpose. There is the difference between gifts and sacrifices. There is a difference in the Bible, in our passage, verse 1, between gifts and sacrifices. 5:1. Many teachers of the Bible believe that the difference is that gifts refers to general sacrifices, such as meal and fat offerings, while sacrifices refer to blood type of sacrifices, such as the burnt offerings, peace offerings, sin offerings. It is so important to note that there were offered as behalf of sins. It offered the penalty that sin demanded. That's what it demanded. Now, we know that the person who was guilty was taken out of the suffering, and it was given to Jesus Christ, because the men were already mankind was already taken out. So Jesus Christ did it to take their place. What is so important in the study of the Old Testament was that offerings could not take away sins. They simply were a teaching of the prefigure of the efficacious offering of Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, verse 4, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. This is Jesus Christ talking to God the Father. In the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have taken no pleasure. Now, point four. Gentile treatment is a requirement of the high priest. Verse 2. He, the normal high priest, can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided since he, the high priest, himself also is beset with weakness. So, now, we learn about God in this. He demanded the human high priest handled gently in regards to their sins, since they were under sin themselves. In the church age, gentleness is required among gentle believers. Now, point five. The high priest was to offer sacrifices for personal sins. The high priest was to offer sacrifices for personal sins, Hebrews 5:3. And because of it, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for sins. As for the people, so often, so also for himself. Every time you read something like this, you have to remember that Jesus sacrifices for all mankind. Now, Note, in the thinking of the work of the priesthood, that they are obligated as a priest. They are bound or obliged to offer the sacrifices. What is so interesting is that they also had to offer sacrifices for themselves, for their family, then for them, for the people. And finally, six, the priesthood in the history of Israel was chosen as a priesthood by God. Hebrews 5:4, and no one takes the honor to himself. No one takes it being an honor of a priest to himself, but receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron was called by God. God chose Aaron. He did not choose Moses or anyone else. It was God. And think about this in regard to the pastor, teacher of the church age. A man does not get to decide for himself that he's a pastor, teacher. And neither does anyone else decide it for him. Unfortunately, oftentimes one is picked up to be the pastor teacher, but it is not designed by God. I know at Dallas Theological Seminary, there were several young men who realized they themselves were not pastor teachers. Some dropped out of Dallas Seminary personally. Others just stayed in Dallas Seminary, but decided to become other type of teachers and helpers in the church. Now, Jesus Christ himself was chosen by God. Jesus Christ himself was chosen by God as a superior to Old Testament. Hebrews 5:5, so also Christ did not glorify himself. Christ did not glorify himself so as to become a high priest. He didn't pick himself. But he who is said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Just as he says also in another passage, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So even Christ himself didn't pick himself, was picked by his father. Now, going to look at two passages. Psalm 2, chapter 2, verse 7, and Psalm 110, verse 4. First, these two psalms are what called messianic psalms. That means they're about the Messiah. And they were in order. Things said in Psalm 2 were said before Psalm of 110. Now, Psalm 2, you are my son. Then in Psalm 10, you are a priest forever. So this is God doing the picking. According to the order of Melchizedek. So, he was chosen by God, Jesus Christ, chosen by God, not in the order of Aaron, but in the order of Melchizedek. Before the priesthood was ever picked by the order of Aaron. Myron, the writer that I study here, lists three facts that set forth the glories of the priesthood of Jesus Christ. One, his essential deity. You are my son. Two, his true humanity, sin apart. Today I have begotten you. Three, his superior endurance order, a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now let's go back and look at the second one. The first one, of course, he is his essential deity. Thou art my Son. That's that Jesus Christ was God and man. Now, two, his true humanity, sin apart, today have I begotten you. Consistently used in the reference to the virgin birth. Now, by his absolute oneness with mankind, he is perfect in experiment, knowledge of our needs, and maximum empathy with our weakness. In this sense, he was made perfect for the role of high priest through suffering. And then finally, three, his superior interior enduring order. A priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The significance of Melchizedek typology is the subject of Hebrews chapter 7. These make Jesus Christ able to save the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for him. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. So why was he picked to be after the order of Melchizedek? Now, one, Jesus Christ dependent on God the Father. Verse 7. Two, Jesus Christ as obedient to God the Father. Verse 8. So verse 7, dependent of Jesus Christ on God the Father. Then secondly, obedient to God the Father. Verse 8. And then finally, verse 3, or the point 3, Jesus Christ for salvation, verse 9. 4, Jesus Christ is high priest by God the Father, verse 10. What does Hebrews 7 mean? Now take a look at it. What does Hebrews 5, 7 mean? I had to spend time here rather than just pass on over it, so I spent time here. Just read it and try to understand it. It gives dependence by Jesus Christ on God the Father. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. In the days of his flesh, this is speaking of Jesus Christ before the resurrection, he offered up both prayers and supplications. That's Jesus Christ offered up prayers, supplications, with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. A reference to God the Father. Now, a lot of times, people just the one or two times when Jesus Christ prayed, or cried, but here we find out he did often. He cried often in this playing and the wording of this out. And he was heard because of his piety or reverence. Now, in other words, you look at this verse, and it sounds like Jesus Christ is praying to God that he does not die. If you just read it, and just that's what it looks like. And that he was heard from God because of Jesus Christ's reverence. That's not what happened. What is so important in verse 7 is a correct reading able to save him from death. This is incorrect. This is the way it's worded. He was prayed from death. That's incorrect. to save him out from death. This is not from death. It's what is out of death. He was dead and came out of it, out of death. So you can be, it'd be from death or out from death in while you're being in it. In the Greek, this is the present of ek, out of, plus death. In other words, Jesus Christ is not praying that God the Father will take him out from death, but that God will deliver Jesus Christ out of death. Out of death. In other words, this is to pray to God the Father for resurrection. Or the resurrection. Jesus Christ out of death. That he is experiencing death. He's being prayed near for being taken out of it. He said this. He did not pray to avert or simply not experiencing death, but that he would experience death, but not remain in death, in Sheol, but would bring him out of death at the resurrection. Now, look at the end of verse, and he, Jesus Christ, was heard from God the Father because of his piety. This is the Greek word eulophia, which means awe, reverence, or fear, or total respect of God. So, verse 7 is from Jesus Christ to God the Father. Now, take a look at it. In the days of his flesh, so he's still alive, he offered out both prayer and supplication with loud crying and tears to one able to save him, that's God, save him out of death, save him out of death. And he was heard because of his total respect of God. Now, let's look at supplications. Since it is said of Jesus Christ to God the Father, we need to speak to take a look at it. Supplications. Now, first of all, this is the first time and the only place in the New Testament where the word supplication appears. The following quote captures the full sense of this word, supplications. This is given out of Complete Biblical Bible Library, Volume 3, page 160. Quote, I make my petition to you with full confidence that I shall obtain justice from your highness, your highness. The Greek word generally translated supplication is to make known one's particular need or particular benefit. This prayer, the prayer and its supplication was answered and was the beginning of his glory, as per Hebrews 2:9. Take a look, Hebrews 2:9. But we do see him who was made for a little while, lower than angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Now, this would be perfect time to read Isaiah 53, but we will not do it, but you should. While Psalms is the most quoted verse of the Bible, most book of the Bible, Psalms is the most quoted book in the Bible, Isaiah is second. Do people know that? Isaiah is second, the most quoted in the New Testament. While many people know that Jesus Christ shed tears for Israel, more tears were shed by Jesus Christ in reference to his death on the cross. Matthew chapter 26:39. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not my will, but your will. And also Matthew 27:46. Among the ninth hour, Jesus Christ cried out of a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, this is my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus Christ, as obedient to God the Father, although he was a son, he learned obedience to the Father. Why did Jesus Christ have to learn about obedience to suffering? Why did he have to do that? If he was going to suffer on the cross for all members of the human race, he had to suffer beyond all members of the human race. We know about Jesus, about God the Father, by learning from Christ obedience to his Father. Let me repeat that. We learn about God the Father, about learning from Jesus Christ obedience to his Father. Learn to thank Jesus Christ for his obedience to God the Father. He has been the Son of God since all time, John 1:1. But he was to learn obedience toward God the Father, and because of his task, he was to learn in suffering. He had to learn it in suffering. He was to learn to be obedient in the suffering, even the death of the cross. What did we learn of God? That God loves the human race. Think about it. Something we wonder why he loves us so much. The whole study of Isaiah is a study of the love of God. The love of the human race on the cross is the love of God the Father. The love toward his Son is a study of the love of God to the Father, of God the Father. But ask yourself, why does God love the human race this much? God loves the human race because he created mankind in his own image. That's why. Why does God love the human race? God loves the human race because he created mankind in his own image. Hebrews 5:9 tells us the love of Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father. He has given to us salvation. Hebrews 5:9, and having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey them the source of eternal salvation. The perfect by which Jesus Christ was made was because he was made perfectly to provide salvation. In other words, what I'm saying here is, all right, he was made perfect. Why was he made perfect? He was made perfect for the job of salvation. His obedience to God the Father was perfect. An automobile is not made for the water, but perfect to drive the driver on the road. A woman is made perfect for a man, but a woman is not made perfect for another woman. A man is made perfect for a woman, not for another man. When God makes something, it is made perfect for its purpose. For its purpose. John chapter 5, verse 34. Food is made to eat and keep you alive. But God brought the Son of God, brought His Son to us to be perfect for our salvation. It's so interesting. I think one of the most interesting things I love about Genesis is that creation, the first part about restoration. Restoration was not about sex. It's about food. About food. Okay. If one of the 3.5 billion is incorrect, the whole body is broken. Is broken. But when God made our Savior, every member of the human race can be saved. Not everyone is saved, but everyone can be saved by faith in Jesus Christ. The divine conclusion is that Christ, Jesus Christ, is by God the high priest. Hebrews 5:10, being designated by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, designated. Being designated by God. The Greek word appears only once in the New Testament, here in Hebrews 5:10. It comes from the idea of speaking or proclaiming, and means to designate where God is called by God, or where Jesus Christ is called by God, a high priest, where Jesus Christ is designated by God, by God as high priest, where Jesus Christ is designated by God as high priest after order of Melchizedek. Other religions had their priest, like the Egyptians, the Canaanites, Baal, these different ones, Hittites. Melchizedek was a worship of the true God in about 2016 B.C. Hebrews 5:11-14, which is where we'll take it up next Wednesday night, and finish this chapter 7. So let's close at this time. Any question? Okay, let's close. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. It's shocking. It's amazing. The more we learn about Jesus Christ, we're amazed when we learn how much You loved us. You loved us enough. You sent Your Son to die for us. That's just cannot be understood. That as God, You loved us that much. It is therefore our privilege study the Word of God every day, to learn more about you, to learn more of Jesus Christ, to learn more of the Holy Spirit. We praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.